Hi, this is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I just want to give so much thanks for Don. He is a miracle worker in his own right, the creator of the whole BBS network, and a limitless fount of creativity and inspiration and giving to the planet and all life on it. And I just want to thank you for that, Don. And Melissa, too, and your darling brother, too. Thank you, thank you, thank you a thousand times. And namaste, and I bow to you and your greatness. Thank you. And speaking of greatness, I have for you today the beautiful, beloved, precious, dear, adorable Queen of the Fairies, creator of Anna Flora Flower Essences for Animals, the author of Healing Animals Naturally with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening, the minister of the Sacred Spirit Ministry, and supporter of everyone in having their dreams come true. Welcome, Sharon Callahan.
Thank you, Iris. It's always such a wonderful pleasure to be with you, and I certainly do support everyone in having their dreams come true now, particularly because I think if people look at the outer world, it seems to be in such chaos, but I know myself that when I sit silently in nature or with the animals or meditate in my meditation room, as I am sure happens to you, the energies are just so high and so beautiful. I think that we're coming into a truly golden age. We're just on the crest of it now, and we really can have our dreams come true like never before.
Well, I think that also all of the things that are happening, Sharon, people really have to turn to the source of light and the supply of every good thing within.
That's right.
And nothing else is going to stand.
That's right.
I also feel like a lot of things are falling as structures and organizations and businesses and corporations that don't serve the highest good of life.
They're going, aren't they?
Yes, and we need to be really, really, really glad of that.
That's right. It's all good.
Yes, and one of the things that you've said so many times is that animals support our prosperity.
They certainly do.
And I think it's a very good time to give an animal a home.
It's the perfect time to give an animal a home, whether you already have animals or you haven't had one for a while. This is an excellent time because we're actually coming into a time of great abundance. And having an animal in your life or animals in your life really gives you access to a real clear channel to all the abundance that is really flowing to you all the time. And animals do that when they're bonded to us and we're bonded to them. They can literally read our divine blueprint. And in their magical ways, each in their own unique way, they can help us to align ourselves with the absolute perfection of our divine blueprint without any of the things that would inhibit the pure reception of that. And on a more three-dimensional level, over the years in doing my work, I actually have countless stories of animals who, this includes myself, but clients whose animals have literally helped them create successful businesses, where the animal literally was the one that came up with the idea or the inspiration for something that brought great, great abundance.
And you know they get in trouble for walking on the computer keyboard. Can you imagine?
Can you imagine? You know, when my cat Lily walks on the computer, I'm quite clear that she's encrypting some kind of code that I'm just simply too ignorant to understand. She's sending messages out to the galaxy that's a little left of the Milky Way and past the Pleiades.
And on to the cat planet.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, they are pretty, they have a lot of forbearance for the human consciousness, but one time I had a women's group, and all the boys had to leave the house. You know, mm-hmm. My husband took the boys, and they went to the movies or something, and the boy cats had to go outside, and I was putting one of them outside the door, and he got all huffy, and he turned around, and he goes, well, you guys, and he didn't say it in that voice. It was sort of like, well, you guys do 300 more years of transformational work and all your decrees and prayers and asanas and yoga and tai chi and everything else for about 300 years. Maybe you'll get up to cat consciousness.
Maybe. Barely approach it.
They're not subtle about that attitude, are they?
Not at all.
Well, and I take that seriously.
I do too.
Have you ever looked at a cat while you're doing your taxes and gone, who is the smart one here?
Exactly. Fortunately, I don't do my own taxes, but if I did, I'd know the kind of look I would get. Figured out how not to pay taxes.
Yeah, I mean, and there, have you ever seen them worry about the rent money?
Never.
Have you ever seen them worry about whether there's something to eat?
Never.
They're like, there is something great to eat. Where is it?
That's right. They know that everything is going to show up precisely at the moment it's needed.
See, I think that's the consciousness that humans need to adopt from animals.
Well, it is, and I think one of the big things I see in my work as I talk to people every day is that a lot of people create tremendous turmoil for themselves by wanting to see everything ahead of time, like thinking that if they could see how everything was going to play out ahead of time, that they would have some kind of security. But any cat can tell you that if that were the case, life would be incredibly boring, that really being in the flow of the magic of life and the abundance that's around us all the time and that shows up at the very moment that we need it is really the reason we're here. You know, if everything were planned out in a way that we could see it ahead, we wouldn't need to go through all of this. And cats would really, all animals, but cats in particular, would really invite us into the abundant magic of life, where you just really approach life like you were surfing, just riding the crest of a wave, knowing
except
that
they probably don't use the water analogy.
They don't use the water. They surf on energy. But just, you know, staying on the crest of that wave, knowing that you'll keep your balance, that all your needs will be met, that the divine abundance is flowing to you every single second.
You know what? I think that we need that sense of adventure.
That's right.
You know, I used to have a teacher, a master of manifestation, and she said, maximum security is a prison cell.
Kitties know that, don't they?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I really want to get back to the thing of giving a home to an animal. I know so many people who would be so much happier if they went and got a cat or a puppy or
that's right.
An older dog or they would just be so much happier.
Yes, in fact, I was just talking to a woman earlier today, who is involved in rescuing and taking in elderly dogs that have been left behind, usually situations where their person is maybe died of cancer or something. And older animals can be just wonderful and so absolutely appreciative of having a beautiful last little bit of time in their life. And I think it would be wonderful if everyone went out and adopted a young kitten or puppy and an elderly one. Then you get the benefit of both ends of the spectrum at once.
I think that it's real hard for people to go through that last part of the animal leaving their body.
It's my feeling from what I receive from the animals is that it's one of the greatest gifts that they have to give us, is to show us how absolutely beautiful transition can be. And, I mean, all of life is leading us to that point of attaining rainbow body or dissolving into light. And animals do it with such beauty and grace. And we can hold the space in which they can do that by creating a sacred atmosphere for them. But they can also teach us, as we go through that process with them, how to do it ourselves. I mean, I really have learned from the animals to be completely unafraid of that transition, because I know that we literally turn to light. And for anyone that has kitties around, kitties turn to light all the time. You know that thing where you think you know where your cat is and you turn around and 1 second later, they're gone.
And you
they
know,
turn into light and they manifest themselves in some other part of the house or the yard.
Yeah, and I swear I've had a couple that can go through walls.
I'm sure.
I've had a couple that showed up when there was no way to get in. Showed up outside when there was no way to get out.
Tell us about one of those.
Well, one night, one of my cats didn't come home, and I was worried, and I called him, and I checked everywhere in the house, and finally I went to sleep about 4 o'clock, hoarse from calling in, and about 7 I woke up, and he was right next to me in bed.
Oh.
And you have to know my balcony is about 20 feet off the ground.
Exactly, and you close everything up at night.
Yeah, there was no way. And he was not in the closet. He was not under the bed. I checked everywhere. We had a search party.
Cats just love to do that kind of thing.
Have you had that happen?
Oh, many times. Many, many times.
And then your mind goes, no, he was hiding someplace and I just didn't see him. No.
No.
That's not the way it was.
Well, I know you've been to my little tiny office, Iris, and in the dead of winter, Lily, my cat, has flat disappeared in here. I mean, really, literally, she's nowhere.
It's tiny.
Yes, and then suddenly I'll turn around and she'll be right there, you know, 2 feet from my face, staring at me. So kitties know how to do interdimensional travel. They know how to help us facilitate abundance, how to clear any blocks that we might have to the flow of abundance, because abundance is always coming to us. It's not that we need to find it or seek it or get it from somewhere else. It's really flowing all the time. And any cat or other animal will help you to clear away the blocks to the flow of abundance.
To stop pushing it away.
And one of the simple ways that they do that is really by bringing us over and over again into the present moment so that our mind isn't drifting into the past or into the future. And, I mean, to me, every cat, like every one of your cats, Iris, they're so beautiful that you just look at them and you can't be anywhere but right in the moment with them. They're so absolutely gorgeous. So over and over and over again, they give us that lesson of presence and being in the moment. And of course, nature and plants and flowers all do that. I mean, you're a great gardener and flower arranger. And, you know, when you're doing gardening or arranging flowers, you're really totally in the moment, too. And when you're in the moment like that, that's when abundance flows. It's when the magic can happen. It's when you have flashes of insight about something that you wouldn't have gotten at another time when your mind was full of thoughts or worries. So animals and nature and flowers, they all do that for us.
It's those times of forgetting, like, you know, that yammer that goes, well, I should have already had this done and I should do this and this should be done by now. And when are you going to do this?
The F word.
The should word. Is that the one you're talking about?
One of the ones we should eliminate.
Yes, it is true swearing, isn't it?
As well as what if or I should have. I mean, there's a whole list of them. All those things that take us out of the present moment or make us feel guilty or unworthy or as if we're not fully abundant now.
Well, you know, that reminds me of the thing in the Miracle and the Course in Miracles that says if you feel guilty, you're listening to the wrong teacher.
That's right.
And by the way, have you ever seen a cat feel guilty?
Never, ever.
Completely free of remorse of all
types. That's right. Absolutely.
Never think about what they did 5 minutes ago.
No, it's gone.
Unless they can't find their lizard.
That's right.
What about cats and cruelty to smaller animals? You know, you have worked with Lily about that, and I'd really like to talk about that because I say to my cats when they go out, you know, birds and lizards and mice, they're friends, not food, not toys.
Right.
And some of them really respect that. In fact, Treasure has been quite horrified to find a decapitated mouse on the sidewalk.
Oh.
He wouldn't go out for a couple days. He was terrified. He ran in the house.
Oh, poor thing.
And then he wouldn't come out again for 2 days. And he looked around, you know, I had cleaned it up, but he looked around really terrified when he came out. But we also have a couple that are just serial killers.
Right.
Even with the bell on.
Right.
And, you know, there's a couple arguments about that, like that mice and rats and stuff would overrun the population if we didn't have cats killing them off. I mean, what do you say about that?
Well, I don't think that's really true because I think there's great, 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 great wisdom in the overriding presence or the collective consciousness of every species. And I feel that they all self-regulate. So I don't think that's a factor at all. I mean, all of my spiritual teachers and all of the people that I would consider great spiritual teachers of all time have all indicated in one way or another that that kind of predatory or killing nature that we attribute to animals, particularly animals in the wild, and cats, because cats still retain a lot of their wild nature. But all of the great teachers have said in one way or another that that's just an outpicturing of human consciousness. They're reflecting back to us, sometimes individually, but most often collectively, what we ourselves are doing.
So do you think my cats are doing that with me personally?
I don't think they're doing it with you personally, but I think that they're tapped into as all animals and cats and wild animals in particular are, that they're very tapped into the tremendous animosity and fighting and wars between people that are taking place on the planet right at this particular time. And so I believe, and I don't have any way to prove this, but I think if there were a way to do a study of, you know, if we were to take something, Iris, like the war in Iraq or something,
yeah.
If someone were to study the times when there were a lot of deaths during the war.
A lot of what?
At the times during the war when there was a lot of killing or a lot of deaths.
Uh-huh.
That if you could also see in some magical way the amount of killing that animals do, you would absolutely see a correspondence. Because as people become more hostile and separative, and as people kill each other, animals simply reflect that back to us. That's why I think one of the greatest things that we can do for ourselves and animals and the world, really, is to set an example ourselves of having a really beautiful life in which we do as little harm as possible. Because then that gets reflected in our environment and the things around us. It rubs off on the animals. It goes out from our animals to other animals because they're literally all connected in consciousness and things begin to change. And then just to put a little disclaimer or qualifier in there, every animal, like every person, is also evolving and on a different level of consciousness. So there are many, many cats and other animals that can be taught not to harm birds or mice or smaller animals. And then there are a few that really just simply aren't ready to do that, or they're simply doing something that in some way that we can't see is benefiting them. Cats, for instance, I mean, I think cats, probably more than any other animal, they really are doing their own thing. You know, they've got stuff figured out pretty well. And a lot of it we wouldn't understand even if they were able to communicate it to us. But I think to the best of our ability, we should all practice non-harming, and we should all, as much as is possible within our given situation, teach our children and our animals non-harming also.
Well, also, you know, I feel implicated in the predator thing because, you know, I buy my cats chicken baby food, and I get them free-range chicken, organic cat food, and but there's a lot of chicken slaughtered around here,
there
you
are.
Know. And so when I open the cat food, I just say to the chickens, "I'm sorry, please forgive me."
That's good.
Thank you. I love you.
Right, because we're in a process of evolution. I mean, nothing is static, and the animals' desire or need for meat isn't going to completely go away, except for a few individuals, until the whole collective consciousness shifts to the point where everything changes. So what you're doing, Iris, as a kind of intermediary step is perfect. And then as more and more people realize that killing animals for food is not the thing to do, then what we'll simply see is that that's reflected in our animals and they no longer want those things. But at the moment, we can only do the best we can, and I think blessing the food that you give your animals, blessing and honoring where that came from and the animal that might have suffered greatly to provide that is just an absolutely wonderful thing. I mean, I feel if every person did that when they fed their dog or cat, a huge shift would occur.
Well, see, I know you feed your cat meat, and you're a vegan.
That's right.
Well, I just haven't seen how else to solve that, but I feel like then after I do that, if I say, I love you, please forgive me, thank you, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry chickens are killed to feed cats.
I love
chickens.
And I think that if we all really thought about it when we fed an animal, a chicken or something, and we really were sorry and we really felt it deeply, it would change things tremendously. But I think really a lot of people that I talk to, Iris, just to even dwell on it or think about it. You know, most people open the jar real quick. They put it down. They don't give it a thought. For a lot of people, the idea of even facing that directly is too painful. So what happens is a lot of the people that could do the most good don't say the I'm sorry, so it never goes out.
Well, I think not only is it important to do that, to apologize and ask forgiveness, but it's important to ask for a divine solution then.
Yes. And there is a divine solution.
Yeah. Talk about that.
The divine solution is for each one of us just to begin at home and to do the least harm possible, to be very careful that all of the things that we eat and the things that we use as far as household cleaners and cosmetics, and this is something you're very good at, Iris, but just being very, very mindful to as much as possible buy products and support companies that don't use animal products and that really promote that. Because there are companies that not only don't use animal products, but they actually use that as part of a promotional campaign, and many of them actually give money to animal charities. And so many people think, well, you know, what good can I, as one little individual, do? But I can assure you that if you do that, you're doing a lot, and it really wouldn't take that many more of us to change everything completely. Because honestly, if there were no market for the things that harm animals, all those products that are tested on animals and do harm to animals, they disappear in a really short time because there'd simply be no one there to buy them.
You know, I think it's a good thing to speak up too, because
very good.
Every company thinks that if one person, this has been proven with studies have been done that show that if one person writes or calls their 800 number, at least 3,500 people feel that way and didn't speak up.
That's right.
So be the one that speaks up.
That's right.
And, you know, I get lots of emails to sign petitions for things that are done to animals.
I
sign all of them.
Yes.
I sign all of them and I send them on. And I, but I just say no to things. I got a catalog the other day and I had been ordering from this catalog for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a rabbit jacket in it.
Oh.
And I just took my catalog thing and pasted it to a piece of paper, you know, the thing that's on
mm-hmm.
the back. And I said, you know, I really appreciate that you've had some polyurethane shoes instead of leather, but I just can't support a company that's selling rabbit coats. And so don't send me your catalog anymore.
Right.
Thank you very much.
That's one of the best things that you can do, and it doesn't take much time.
And I belong to the Peace and Freedom Bunny Coalition.
Me too.
I know. And it's time to speak up for rabbits. They're some of the dearest creatures in the world.
They are, and they're treated so terribly.
And they have such a sense of humor.
Don't they? It's they're just amazing angels. I mean, given all they've been through collectively and the horrible ways they've been experimented on, they're the most angelic, sweet, adorable, funny, smart animals you could ever want. In fact, in going back to what you were saying about people adopting animals, I think, you know, for people that are in an apartment that feel that maybe it would be too much to have a dog or a cat, consider having a rabbit. They make really wonderful apartment pets. They don't make noise. You can train them to use a litter box. They're just wonderful, affectionate companions. And, of course, you can talk about this more than I do because you have several.
We used to have one bunny. His name was Notorious. And he was the most hilarious thing. He would, we would be eating salad. We used to have this low kind of a Japanese table. And we were eating salad. And he would hop up, quickly steal a piece of lettuce, and just take off. He'd be out of the room before you could be surprised, you know. And it reminded me for all the world of little kids ringing the doorbell and running off.
Yeah.
You could almost hear him giggle. They are just adorable and sweet. And I have a friend, and your friend, too, also, Sharon, Vicky. She has a bunny, Bunzel Washington.
Yeah.
And she holds him on his back like a baby, and he just totally blisses out.
Yes, he does.
He just blisses out.
And I think a lot of people that aren't familiar with bunnies don't realize how loving and affectionate they are. Some people tend to kind of gravitate to the stereotype of rabbits as being frightened or not affectionate, but they're incredibly affectionate, and they can bond with you just as much as a dog or cat or other animal. I mean, they're just incredible.
Well, they're also not meek and mild.
No.
We had Notorious was about, he weighed about 2 pounds. Maybe a pound and a half. He was a little miniature, and he was white, and he had black eyeliner and one line that went straight up in the middle of his eye. And he looked very Egyptian.
How beautiful.
And he would come up, and he would get on your foot and nuzzle you with his nose, like if he wanted to be petted. And if you were busy or doing something and you didn't pet him right away, he would growl and bark and poke you with his front claws and just poke into your shin. And he was, thought he was a little bulldog or something. He was kind of aggressive.
And what was he notorious for?
Everything.
Everything.
He was notoriously not like rabbits. Generally are. He
and
was on television once.
Cute.
You know. Didn't I send you that Notorious interview that I did with him?
No.
I actually interviewed him.
Oh, how wonderful.
Can you still play VHS?
Of course.
I will send you.
Oh, I would love that.
His interview is hilarious.
I'll bet.
And, you know, at the time, Jerry thought I was making it up that I could hear what animals said.
Uh-huh.
And he filmed it. And, so, you know, I would ask him questions, notorious questions, and he would answer. And Jerry told me he knew what he was going to say before he said it.
I believe that.
He heard it at the same time as me. And he gave, and then I told him, so I said, so you do know. You do hear animals. He said, no, I just know you. And I said, Baloney, you are hearing what the animals say. And I think a lot of people do, but their rational mind just won't let them.
That's right, because we learn so early in childhood that, you know, anything like that is considered to be a fantasy at best. And so we grow up kind of brainwashed. And I mean, all young children communicate with animals all the time. I mean, it's just natural, because our form of communication before we could verbalize things was telepathic. And so at one time, we all spoke to each other telepathically. And you can tell when you look at a little baby, you know, especially the tiny little ones that are just a few months old, a human baby, they still have that innocent quality that animals have. And if you've ever observed a human infant and an animal interact, there's actually no question that they're telepathically communicating with each other.
You know, when we brought Sonny home from the hospital when he was born,
mm-hmm.
there was a litter of kittens in his bassinet.
They and feed him to it, huh?
Yes, and the mother wanted that bassinet, and I moved all the kittens to a nice box with blankets and all of that maybe three times. And she was not having it. Finally, we gave her the bassinet and did something else for Sonny. But I also felt like she wanted to be with him.
Right. Well, you know, there's that silly old wives' tale about cats stealing a baby's breath or something.
I never
believed
that.
It's just so ridiculous. I mean, when my daughter was growing up, she had a cat sleeping with her from the very beginning, and she was always as peaceful as could be.
Well, if you tune into the peace of cats,
it's so incredible.
It's very heavenly.
Yeah.
It's very heavenly. One time I was real angry and having a real hard time with myself, and I threw myself down on the sofa, and this cat came and laid, what was treasure, came and laid beside me and just flattened himself against my side and purred. And I tuned into the way he was feeling, and I went, wait a minute, do I want to be like this? How my my body was feeling like, you know. And I said, or do I want this heavenly frequency? And we can choose. And I did. I just dropped it, and I just let myself be in that. And, you know, I want to get back to this animals nurturing us, because, I mean, that's one of the ways they nurture us.
Well, it is. And, I mean, even for little human infants, I mean, what could be more wonderful for them to be near a cat that's purring? I mean, the purring, there have even been studies done. It's so healing.
Oh, it is.
It's just amazing.
Well, it is the vibration and frequency of ecstasy.
That's right.
And that's what everyone is longing for.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
And kitties are in that state all the time.
Yeah, I want to tell you another nurturing miracle I saw. Someone came over here that was doing some work on the house, and somehow everybody sort of comes to me for counseling, you know. And he was telling me this problem he had with his daughter, and he was really, really angry, his teenage daughter, you know. And he just waves of anger mm-hmm. were just rolling off of him, and he was sort of yelling, you know. He was snorting and, you know what I mean.
I do.
Huffing and puffing and just veins sticking out in his neck. And I was just listening to him because that's what he seemed to need. And Daphne, Princess Daphnis, is this wonderful cat that I got from Tony La Russa. Actually, she got me. Tony La Russa goes to the different animal shelters, and the ones that only have 24 hours, or they're going to euthanize them, and I use the word loosely. they rescue them and get them spayed, and then they give them their shots, and they take them around to different shopping centers and unsuspecting people like me walk by and a little paw comes out and nabs you. Well, that's how we got Daphnis.
Irresistible.
Irresistible Princess Daphne. And she's just so wonderful. And she walked up to this guy, and I was real surprised because it usually a cat won't approach someone that's real angry.
Right.
Especially somebody they don't know.
That's right.
And so she went up to him, and she was kind of messing around his feet and circling his legs and stuff, and he didn't notice her, and he didn't notice her, and I'm saying to her inwardly, Daff, back off, you know, keep a safe distance. And then she sort of walked her two paws up the side of his leg all the way past his waist, and she flattened herself against his leg. And he looked down at her and he said, do you want up? And
oh.
She was like, uh-huh. And he picked her up and he was cuddling her and his anger just melted. He was in that child space of a little child with a kitten.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, and I was blown away. I just felt like she healed him.
Absolutely. I mean, animals of all kinds are just incredible healers. I mean, they know just who to go to, where to go on the body, how to get people out of their anger, whatever's going on. And most of them can, particularly cats, can take whatever the ailment or the emotional state is away and directed away from the person. I mean, it's quite incredible.
So they just pretty much disperse it.
They do.
So they're energy transformers and transmuters.
They are, because everything, even a negative emotion or something that's out of alignment in our physical body, it's all just energy. And cats know how to simply pull that energy out, where it kind of, to me, an illness or an emotional state that's inharmonious is like a kind of coagulation or knot of energy. And a cat will just loosen that up and send it off into the atmosphere like sparkling light.
Wow. Magic at the tips of their paws.
That's right.
And are bunnies that way too?
Bunnies are that way too. It's just that often bunnies aren't given enough of a chance to work their magic, because I find that even people that have bunnies for some reason don't tend to interact with them quite as much as they do with dogs or cats. And bunnies, you know, can be they're all different, but some of them are very undemanding. But if you give a bunny enough attention, they become incredibly affectionate, and they're incredible healers.
My bunnies that I have now are different. They seem like they're doing something amongst themselves, and they don't really want me to pet them. They don't really... I let them run around in the yard. They have their own yard in the daytime.
They have a wonderful, magnificent place.
And then I put them in the hutch at night so the raccoons won't eat them. But they seem like they're more independent types. They don't seem to want to interact with me very much.
Well, they are that way, and I think that your situation is unique in that you have the kitties to give you affection. And I feel that a lot of animals, or certain groups of animals, certain rabbits, and I see it a lot with horses, one of the things they need is for people to just be willing to provide them with food and a beautiful place to be and just let them be themselves. And I feel with your bunnies, they have a magnificent existence out there. I mean, they have this wonderful large enclosure. It's completely natural. it's safe. They can just totally be bunnies, and yet they get fed and cared for. And to me, somehow, that beautiful life that you've given them, the gift of that gets communicated back to the collective consciousness of all rabbits and makes a tremendous shift in consciousness. So it's just a kind of different thing that's happening. But it's, I know from being at your house, it's equally as wonderful to watch them.
It is, isn't it?
I mean, it's wonderful to have bunnies and cats that are physically affectionate, but with your guys, just watching them and the way that they interact with each other and the tremendous joy they have, it's just incredible. And again, it's that element that brings you right into the present moment.
Well, you've talked about how animals are, they're more connected to all of the other species.
They are.
And I feel like these bunnies are sort of saying to other animals, this is the divine blueprint, this is what we're meant to have.
That's exactly right.
And, I just want it to be communicated more to people.
Well, it's a very important point, because even if our lifestyle only allows us to have one animal, if we give that one animal a really beautiful life, you know, not only just giving it shelter and food and veterinary care, but really treating it as a divine being, then the care that we give that one individual animal goes out like a blessing to all the others. So, I mean, to me, every single person should have at least one companion animal.
Well,
if you don't, you're really missing out.
Well, you know what else is? I think it's very, very, very important to notice how we treat animals. It's very hard for me to see somebody like jerking a dog on a leash.
Oh, I know.
Or sometimes they're so strict with the animals, the dogs that are being trained for to be blind, you know,
right.
Companions for blind people. And I think, you know, it's important to remember animals are sensitive. They want to give you what you want.
They do.
Be so ever so gentle with them. If they aren't doing what you want, it's because they don't get what you're...
They don't understand, right?
Yeah. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean,
and also, you know, if you're jerking your dog on the leash, if you're locking him up and not paying attention to him, if you're, you know, eating in front of them and they're hungry, you know, all of those things are really the way you treat yourself.
That's right. That's right. That's why one of the greatest gifts you can give animals is to really treat them sacredly, like they're equal members of the family, so that they reap the benefit of whatever's going on. If you're eating, they get fed. If you have a nice bed, they have a nice bed, or they sleep on your bed. I mean, it's all just super important. And with animals, I mean, you're right, absolutely, about animals that are being trained for anything, whatever the situation is. They with all their hearts, want to cooperate with us. And if they don't cooperate, it's either because they don't understand what's being required of them, or they're frightened in some way.
Or maybe, and this is quite possible, you're not doing the highest thing and they're letting you know.
That's right. I mean, with guide dogs, for instance, I mean, I don't want to point the finger at guide dogs for the blind. I'm just using it as an example. But what I see, because I grew up in an area of California where guide dogs were being trained, is an awful lot of the dogs that are chosen as being appropriate for that simply don't want to do it. It's not their path. They're miserable. They often don't live very long. And I hope that in the future, one of the things that we'll see is that people who have a skill of being able to communicate with animals will be part of the process of determining which dogs really have a heart's desire to do that kind of work and which don't. So that's a really good point, Iris.
Well, also, I think you really need to honor animals' wishes in this way. One time I looked and looked and looked for a Himalayan kitten, and I really wanted one.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I found one, and I have to have certain conditions. You know, the person has the parents. They don't keep them in a cage. They have like one litter a year. They raise them themselves by hand. You know,
right.
They're there with them. And so I shopped and shopped and shopped, and I finally got this kitten, but he didn't like me. He didn't choose me. He didn't choose me, and I almost took him back because he was, like, resisting me in the car.
Right.
And I have found that when a cat chooses you, it's magic.
Right.
If they don't choose you, you're in trouble. He taught me that. And he never liked anybody except this one person that came to our house, and I would have given him to her, except she lived on a really, really busy street.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't live very long.
Right.
He got leukemia and died. He was only about 2 years old, and I felt like it was because he didn't choose me. I got in the way of the person he was supposed to be with.
Right. And I've been in similar situations when I was younger, and it's really easy to let our own fantasy or desire stand in the way. And you know, it kind of goes back to the topic of really allowing life itself to work magic, because sometimes even with the best intention, we'll have some image in our mind of how things, how we would like things to be. But if we simply let the universe work its magic, then the perfect animal would find us, or the perfect home, or whatever.
Probably walk up to our back door.
Right. Whatever it is we're trying to manifest.
Wow. Well, let's see. How much time do we have? Can you see the clock?
I don't have a clock.
Oh. You don't have a clock?
Not today. Somehow.
I almost got you a purple clock for your birthday. Let's see.
My clocks broke at once. It's a sign.
Pardon me?
I say it must be a sign that we're in the timeless dimension.
Yeah. Well, you and me, kind of. We have about 5 minutes, so I wanted to talk. You know, you've been working with the things from Zero Limits, the Ho'oponopono.
Yeah.
Ho'opopono.
I can never say it either.
I know. Ho'oponopono, I think, is the way you say it. It's one of those things, every time you say it, somebody corrects you.
And then you get really confused.
Yeah, it's a Huna healing, and this Dr. Hugh Lin, using this healing method, which is four steps, you see something you don't like or something you know the person doesn't want, and you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. Well, he says that, Dr. Hugh Lin, we went to see him the other night, and he says that everything that we see is our responsibility, and we are the cause of it, that we believe that's something that's true, and therefore we create it.
Right.
And so I've been doing this on everything, saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, and it's very important, like when you see someone as being a criminal, or you see someone as being insane, or you see someone as being sick, that he says the job is to clean it up in yourself, and then that won't exist.
Right on the spot.
Yes. So I then he says in this presentation, but the world won't be completely healed because none of you will take total responsibility. And I started really looking at that, and I'll give you an example. I saw this picture of Sarah Paulin with a caribou that she had killed herself. Very
all bloody.
Proud of it. What?
All bloody.
You saw that?
Yes, I did.
And, you know, she's been a proponent of the aerial hunting of wolves and bears in Alaska. And, you know, when I get right up to something like that, I want to go, bullshit, I did not cause that. That is not my responsibility. Quit doing that, you know. And I wanted to hear what you have to say about that.
I think that's where we have to use the ho'opo'ono.
Well, I'm saying it to you, Sarah. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. And
I'm voting for someone else.
Yes. And that thing about, you know, sending her son off to Iraq, and although I have to say, it's a little bit more refreshing than the way politicians have done it in the past, which is send everybody else's kid to war.
That's right.
But I also didn't know we were sending 4,000 more troops there.
I didn't either.
Who voted that?
I was horrified to hear that.
Well, so how do we, I can say it. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for seeing that way. I get it basically as, you know, if you see a mess, you're the one that cleans it up.
Well, it's though it goes along with what we were saying with the animals, and I feel that this method really does work, that each one of us do have to take full responsibility for everything, because what was his name?
Dr. Hugh Lynn.
Dr. Hugh Lynn, I feel he's absolutely right. If each one of us are not willing to take full responsibility in each moment, the world will stay the way it is for a long time. We have to do it.
So I am responsible for Sarah Palin shooting a caribou.
In some way, we all are.
Oh, my God. Okay, I am sorry. And I say every day to the animals, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Thank you for everything. I love you. To all of them, I am so sorry the way humanity has behaved to them.
And that makes a huge difference, an apology like that.
Well, Sharon, we have to go, my darling. I'm always thrilled to have you be back.
I'm always thrilled to be with you.
Tell people how they can reach you.
I can be reached through my website, which is www.anaflora.com.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. This program will be replayed on LA Talk Radio Sunday night, September 22nd. And thank you for being with us. God bless you. And we'll be here Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you, and this is my wish for you. That all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. All men, all women, all children, and